It is Monday. Monday. Welcome, everybody, to another Monday episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a, well, I said it already, Monday, August the 2nd. Happy August, everybody. Guess what? There's no more Sundays without football until February. I know Gooch was over there, and he didn't take any blue pills, but the table shifted a couple times. Are you excited or what?
I got a boner. Can't fucking wait.
It is time, baby. Football is back. There is a football game to be played this week between the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers. My beloved Dallas Cowboys. For all things Cowboys, be sure to check out Wednesday's podcast. It will be the first All About the Star, hosted by me and Cowboys Nation. And by that, I mean I'm going to bring on a Twitter follower or a celebrity or whoever I can rile up. I did ask Jane Slater. She slid into her DMs. We used to talk like a lot over the pandemic. I love her, actually, but yeah, she hasn't responded, so that's okay. But she'll respond to like pictures of my daughter and stuff, which is it's still nice and humbling. But anyway, All About the Star drops on Wednesday. Also dropping on Wednesday, Keep It Real with Elena Christina. Her first episode will drop. She's excited. I'm excited. Yeah, so that's that. We're about to hit 20,000 downloads. Real excited about that as well for our all of our advertisers out there. This is a good reach for your product, whether you're a small business or you know, anything to that stretch. Hit us up. We'll get your commercial recorded. I was talking to my dad yesterday, and my bonus mom Barry. They both said, "Dave, you got to do all the reads because you have that voice. Let's do it." I'm like, I don't want to anymore. I need somebody else to do it. Might even have AJ do it. AJ's with us along with Chris Gucci.
I keep on getting told that I need to do reads as well. But like, it's Ash. She's like, could you please do a commercial? And I'm like, eventually.
Because she wants to hear baby talk some more.
I'm just never really in the mood to sit down and fucking record something new. I'm always having to record. The last thing I want to do is record again.
Speaking of record, are you ready for round three of Packers Pulse coming up?
We're not talking about that. We're literally not talking about it. I'm so aggravated. I've had a rough go of it.
It's going to be a great show, though. I can't wait till it eventually drops in December. But it's going to be great.
By then, the Packers will have the one seed locked up.
Okay. All right. I see it.
But yeah, I'm waiting for the for the first round bye, baby.
You got it. That's right. There's only one now, right? That's the rule. There is football this week. Very excited. No more, as I said before, no more Sundays without football. Today is day two. As we cover 32 teams in 32 days, we're going to get into the New England Patriots, the old Boston bitches from all the way up there. We'll talk about them. We'll go through their depth chart. We'll go through their schedule, and we'll see if they can get any better than they did last year. It's not going to be hard to improve. They do have a couple players coming back. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Right away, football related, it happened as just before we broke. There was a couple stories on the old Twitterverse. That Devonta Smith, the Eagles' first-round pick, sprained his MCL. He'll be out 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, but that's actually good news because they feared it might have been a lot worse. So 2 to 3 weeks, they'll take that, even though he's only 140.
I was going to say maybe they should have debated drafting him at all, considering he could be blown over with the wind. You know what I mean? Like,
that ship sailed. They drafted him.
Right. It's a wrap.
He's injured. For the first time in his young career.
Often. I hope, yeah, for the Eagles fans' sakes out there, which, again, I don't root for you guys at all. I think you're literally lower than the totem pole of people. But I do not root for injuries, and I hope this kid gets back and starts his NFL career. Now, over the weekend, something that we got to see in exciting fashion for the first time since June 15th of this year, the Yankees swept. The Yankees got three dubs. They're new-look Yankees. I was excited about it. Rizzo unbelievable.
Best player to ever wear a uniform, apparently. Fucking guy. Love that guy. But I don't understand why he let off.
Oh, don't get me started. That's Boone getting in Boone's head. Like, you know what? He's got a couple hits.
All of a sudden, we got lefties to help break the lineup apart a little bit. to lead off.
My dad said it yesterday. We were watching the end of the Yankees.
He had a 490-footer and a fucking 480-footer, and they're like, you know what? We should probably fucking lead him off.
Yeah, well, not only that.
Come on.
My dad was like, so all these analytics you talk about, all these things that the Yankees were trying to solve, and it took them this long to realize that they needed some lefty bats in the lineup. And I'm like, yeah, this is why they get paid the big bucks, bro. This is why these coaches and these managers and the GMs, look, I don't understand how you couldn't have figured it out 5 years ago, but I guess, you know, listen, they figured it out now, and now before you know it, don't look now, they're down six games of the Rays, who the Rays have jumped the Red Sox. We're speaking of Boston, like that's kind of crazy to think about, but now we're only one game out of the second wild card, so things are starting to move around. Me and Gooch texted yesterday, we were getting excited a little bit, you know, I mean, look, If these pitchers are back, which apparently they're going to be at the end of August, and we're talking
need to keep it going here. Need Gerrit Cole to fix what he's got going on. Chapman,
he still worries me. I mean, he has been going to his fastball a little more, thank God, because it's like enough with the slider, enough with your, you know, we get it. You got the control, but now like you throw 99 and that's your low. You know what I mean? Throw the heat.
Hopefully the sweep is an indication that they've turned the corner. They haven't been able to put teams away when they've had a 2-0 lead in the series, and now they sweep Miami, even though it is Miami.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's still,
but they beat a really, really good pitcher yesterday.
Yesterday, right. And I feel bad for that pitcher.
Altogether, Miami's pitching is amazing.
Right.
So they beat three good pitchers, technically.
So they beat those pitchers up. Yesterday, it took till about the eighth inning until I got in my car to go to my dad's. I was like, they can't hit. This is unbelievable. They restacked their lineup, and they still can't hit. And then before you know it, Judge gets a single, and the wheels fall off the Marlins. So, but look, don't look now. We'll see. I'll pump the brakes because I did call it the season was over.
I'm not exactly going to brace for a letdown because we are playing bum ass Baltimore, but
who are on pace for 100 losses plus. So,
but this is easy to look ahead. I shouldn't say look ahead. The Yankees have to take it one game at a time, and I'm sure they know that. Mm-hmm. But I don't mean to look ahead. I'm more like saying overlook.
True.
It's still a Major League Baseball team.
That's like looking ahead when you have it's a trap series, let's call it. A trap series against Baltimore, because right after Baltimore, I believe they have Seattle. So these are the teams that they're going to be fighting with, Seattle being one of them, you know, that they have to beat, you know, and let's not overlook, as bad as Baltimore is this year, that's like playing a minor league team, but they got to get these wins. So I'm not jumping off any cliffs or anything like that, but I think that the Yankees have a potential to win another three games and be winners of six straight. And look, they went 6-4 on the road trip. Unfortunately, the four losses, three of them came at the hands of just catastrophic losses against Boston. You know what I mean? So like those are the games you obviously can't lose when you're trying to win a division, but when you're on the road, you want to win some games. You know what I mean? And they did just that. So they did just that. So before we dive into NBA free agency, we do want to head it on over to AJ, who, by the way, kudos to you, my man, for posting a couple really good gems this weekend on our our Instagram. If you're not following us, follow us right now. We are apparently just grabbing dicks and twisting them the entire time, and we are really doing better on Instagram as we change the landscape a little bit. Look, no discredit to any of our chop athletes. We love you. We're going to be...
I'm done with the walking billboard on Instagram.
We were looking like a little bit of an advertisement at this point. We are making moves for those guys. Good shit for those. We actually have one probably most likely coming in studio today to record with Jimmy Palumbo for his podcast. If not, no worries. You know, Jimmy's podcast is always good no matter what. It's debatable, but yeah, you know, it's up there.
Jimmy must have realized that I'm recording and now he's starting to text me.
Yo, bro. Hey, bro. He actually, you know what? Before I throw it to you, AJ, he did say something on Facebook. And this is what I like sometimes when Jimmy or anybody that we know posts a good, debatable topic. He said that it's a good thing. Like, you know, you made it as one of the sports icons if you can post their first name and you know who you're talking about. He said Thurman. Thomas. Obviously, I was wrong. It was Munson. But like, if you off the top of your head, do you know the first name of somebody that... like that, you know who you're talking about no matter what. Like, you can't say Tom and think Brady. You know, there's a million Toms. But is there any first name basis?
LeBron.
Okay, there you go. LeBron. Steph.
Dame.
Right. Well, yeah, Damien. But yeah, I was going to say, that's not even his name. But what else? There's got to be other ones. Like, there's Roger? No. You know, no. I was going to say Roger. Roger's Clemens Box. No, but I'm thinking, I don't know.
I would say Barry.
Bond.
Nah, see Sanders. Yeah, see that.
Bo.
Well, yeah, Burham. No, Jackson. So, great comedian, by the way. But it was just something I thought about, and I was like, huh, what?
Connor.
Yes, Connor's definitely one of them. I guess a lot of fighters. Nate. When you're talking MMA, you think Nate, right? You know Nate Diaz and Brock. That's my guy, Brock. When you say Brock, you know you're talking about Brock Lesnar.
He sucks.
Shut up. He's the best heavyweight of all time.
No, oh, wait.
Kid him. What?
You don't actually believe that, right?
I think he's up there.
No, he's not even in the top 50.
Stop it,
dude. The fuck now.
He came right in. He came right into that this thing. Dominating.
You're really earning the casual Dave moniker. All right. We're talking about top 50 UFC, dude. MMA.
Come on.
Top 50.
No, in history, not just heavyweights.
In history.
Top 50.
No, heavyweight.
Stop, dude. Bro,
come on now.
No, Dave. But for real. Like, he's one of the most dominant collegiate athletes of all time. All-American, national champion.
Wait.
What?
Are we talking about... like WWE college wrestling? I'm talking about MMA fighter. Brock is not in the top anywhere. Not even in the top 20, maybe top 30. Top 50 might be a stretch, but...
I think you're by. I think you... Did he hurt your feelings or something?
No. I'm talking about he fought six times in his career.
And did you see those fights? The highest grossing fights maybe ever outside of Conor fight?
Wait. So does that make Conor a top 20 fighter of all time?
Sure.
He's not.
He's not?
No, he hasn't won in 7 years.
This is going to piss off Casual Tom.
Wait, so I could start rattling off UFC
Tommy D, shout out, brother.
UFC heavyweights right now, and then you're going to be like, better or worse.
Okay, go ahead.
Cain Velasquez.
Well, Cain beat him, right?
Okay.
So then, no.
Junior Dos Santos.
Bigfoot, right?
Randy Couture.
He's better than Couture.
Mark Coleman. Oh, stop. Wait. What? Mark Coleman.
Yes, better than Mark Coleman. Dude, listen, I'm a Brock Mark, bro. That's just the way I am, man. I'm sorry.
We haven't even started naming Pride guys yet.
Oh, fuck. If they're in Pride, they're not as good as UFC fighters.
Fedor, Verdum, Frank Mir.
You beat Frank Mir's ass.
Frank Mir beat him.
Pounded him to oblivion.
Frank Mir beat him.
Because of a heel hook and he wasn't ready. It was his first fight ever.
All right, how about this? One guy quit and tapped. And the other guy just got beat into oblivion but didn't get finished. That was a decision.
Who didn't get finished?
Was it a decision?
He beat his ass, bro.
It doesn't matter if he beat his ass. Did he put him away?
No, he put him away, yes.
Did he put him away?
Yes. Did you see his face after that fight?
I guess I'm casual Chris.
There you go, brother. But, I'm just too much of a fan of Brock to know that.
Ngannou, Stipe, Cormier. I could keep going.
I would love to see a Brock DC fight. Love that. That would be fantastic. I would love to see Brock against Fat John Jones. let Brock come back to the UFC for John Jones' actual first fight in the heavyweight division. Anyway, we're off the rails here. I'm sorry.
Brock isn't even fucking close.
Forget it. Anyway, AJ, this is going to be to you, my dude. Take over because I got a towel off because I'm now sweating because of that heated debate that hopefully will make the airwaves somewhere other than the podcast. But go ahead, AJ.
We're getting back to our roots over here, and I love it. You know what? We got the sports update brought to you by Curtis Sells Houses.
Misha Taint.
I tried my best. I'm having a rough morning, okay? But
that's the password for our website for a little while, right?
I'm here with that sports update, and if you need anything in the realm of realty, you make sure to hit up our boy Curtis Sells Houses. Curtis Counts is the guy to hit.
He only sells like $1 million homes at this point. It's like I talked to him about selling my house, and he's like, "Well, I'll just take a look at some of my listings." And I looked at it, I'm like, "Jesus, oh my god!" But God, sorry.
So if you got the bag like that, then you hit up Curtis. All right. So the Reds versus the Mets. I was at the game yesterday. If you guys didn't see, thank God that Sturch was able to pull those videos. A little too intoxicated out there, but the Reds.
Oh, you know what, though? I did see Uncle Joe get taken Yardski on SNY. Did you see the video, Chris?
Yes.
Amazing. And he's like, oh, somebody caught it. I'm like, well, that's not shown on the tape there, bro. It looks like it went 400.
I didn't see nobody catch it. Anyways.
And you were there.
Yeah, and I saw it firsthand. The Reds get the W there, 7-1. Yankees were able to finish the sweep yesterday over the Marlins, 3-1. So good for those boys. The Nationals were able to defeat the depleted Chicago Cubs, 6-5.
Who's on that roster, by the way? There's got to be nobody left.
My boy Ian Happ. That's about it. That's my fantasy guy. That's all I know.
Well, I mean, I guess he is the fantasy guy.
Does he have a podcast too?
I have a fantasy football podcast.
No, not you. I know you do. Ian Happ. Doesn't he have a podcast? One of these Cubs guys has a podcast.
It's called Lonely Nights. Lonely Nights in Chicago by Ian Happ. I don't know. But honestly. Yeah, they're totally riddled with nobody now, but go ahead, sorry.
New Philadelphia Philly, Kyle Gibson rolls over the Pittsburgh Pirates in a 15-4 victory.
I'm just going to interrupt
you
again just because I interrupted you 30 more times. I feel like I should keep it consistent.
Yeah, why not?
But go ahead.
No context whatsoever, but go ahead.
The Blue Jays were able to easily sweep the Royals 5-1. Berrios makes an impressive debut, only giving up one run. The Detroit Tigers were able to easily shake off the Baltimore Orioles 6-2. The Brewers face off against the Braves in a close one, but they were able to edge it out 2-1. Josh Hader with the save. White Sox and Indians get into a low-scoring affair. The White Sox are able to come away in that one 2-1. Cardinals versus Twins. Adam Wainwright had a solid 7 innings in that game, and that's good enough to get the win, 7-3. Rangers faced off against the Mariners, and they were able to pull it off at home in upset fashion.
4-3. Thank you, Texas. We need those Mariners to start losing some ball games. But
The Astros and the Giants have been an exciting series, but the conclusion of it ends with the Giants winning the series 2-1. They win the game itself 5-3. Athletics go against the Angels in what is a heated battle out in the AL West. The Athletics are able to come away in that game 8-3.
What did I tell you about that? A's. We're not calling them the Athletics. It's just like one of the It's like an 80s dad calling them like those Oakland Athletics. Like they're just the A's.
I read it.
You probably just read it off the thing. That's fine.
The Padres are able to stun the Rockies. No surprise. Cronenworth and Kim lead the Padres past Colorado 8-1. Dodgers actually shove it up the Diamondbacks poop shoot 13-0.
Well, at least you didn't curse.
Yeah. I'm making adjustments. And we're going to finish up the sports update with the Tampa Bay Rays beating those nasty Boston Red Sox 3-2. That is your sports update with AJ.
Thank you, AJ. And look, bro, I tell you right now, look out. Boston seems to be reeling a little bit, and this is called by, I believe both of you guys said that Boston always kind of shits the bed towards the end of the season. But, I mean, we're not at the end of the season. There's still 2 months left. So, but look, I mean, this is the perfect time for the Yankees to surge. You know, if they're going to start winning some games, why not do it now? But thank you, AJ, for that update. And, of course, right before we recorded, look, the Olympics are happening. I know we're not talking about it as much or, you know, it's not really interesting to us three. But guess what? It's interesting to the world. So I do want to point out that the U.S. women's soccer team dropped and they're toast. They're done. So that is a big deal because they were the talk of the town a couple years ago. You know what I mean? Like those girls are just absolutely crushing it. And then, I don't know, I feel like they, you know what? I kind of compare this year's U.S. national women's team to Rocky Balboa in Rocky III. Anybody Rocky III fan? No? Nobody? Are you?
Of course.
Yes. Okay. So like when he didn't take it so serious against Clubber Lang and then Clubber just messed him up. That's kind of where I got with this. Like they got too popular. They got in their own heads. They got political. They got all this other shit. And all of a sudden, spanked, gone, done, dead. No medals for you. So sucks for them. I think Jay Devlin actually on Facebook called that. He said that like this team will not do as good as that. You know, he probably used other choice words, but he said that the national team wasn't going to be as good. If I'm not mistaken, I think I just read.
Is it insane that I just got a phone call back to back from Joe Matarese and Jimmy? I cannot tell these guys enough that I record at this time. I'm just now they're banned for the day. Jimmy has to come in and record. But while you look that up, I'm just going to talk shit.
OK, well, you talk shit. And I will say this breaking as of 5:27 in the morning. It looks like Simone Biles, but
she's going to compete. She's coming back on the catwalk or the balance beam.
On the catwalk. On the catwalk. Also, it's amazing. It's hung from the top of the thing. And it's the catwalk.
I feel like half of the country was rooting against the U.S. women's soccer team for the wrong reasons. I just think it's kind of shitty to root against the United States in anything.
I think so, too. So, when Devlin did drop that this morning, he was like, see, I told you, you know, like good for them for losing. I'm like, wait, that's home. Home team, you know, I feel like you root for our girls. Like, what are you doing? But I guess look, if you have your own,
the other stuff, that's whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I don't give a shit. All right. So anyway, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're gonna talk NBA free agency because it starts tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, on a Tuesday. We'll talk about the top names. If the Knicks are gonna be players, if anybody's gonna be players, if trades are gonna happen, yada yada yada. We'll get into that. And of course, like we said earlier, we're gonna preview the New England Patriots 2021 season to see if they can bounce back from their abysmal 7-9 finish last year under Bill Belichick, his worst season as head coach. Guys, it is almost time for the best time of the year, and that's tailgate season. And when you think about tailgates, you're thinking about beers and you're thinking about food. And when you're thinking about food, you're thinking about hot sauce. I'm talking about Silk City Hot Sauce. It's a mom and pop business from Vermont that produces hot sauce with locally grown peppers. There's several blends and flavors. Here's just a few. You got Slurp, which is fresh peaches, honey, Vermont apple cider, habanero and cherry pepper blend with a hint of smoked jalapeno. We got the Badass Jew, which is four pepper blend jalapeno, cherry pepper, serrano, and habaneros with tomato, roasted red peppers, roasted garlic, and Mexican seasoning. Good Morning Jonestown, which is a smoked habanero and smoked serrano with carrots, roasted peppers, garlic, onions, and a splash of white vinegar. Killer Hot is their second hottest, three pepper blend featuring fatale, habanero, and ghost with roasted red peppers, garlic, and honey. Ghost Whisper is a pile of ghost and habanero with roasted peppers, garlic, onion, and red vinegar. It's a very powerful sauce with a deep and delicious flavor. And you guys got to check out the artwork on these bottles. Silk City uses professional comic book artists to create the coolest looking hot sauce in the biz. They offer great deals when you purchase the 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 mix and match packs. Go to silkcityhotsauce.com and use the coupon code CHOP. You're going to receive 20% off your order. You're going to receive a free bottle, and you're going to get some stickers along with that. That's silkcityhotsauce.com. All right, thank you very much to Silk City Hot Sauce. Those guys are cruising over there. We have all of our sauces lined up in studio. Hey, did you actually, you can unmute yourself for a second. Did you try one of these things?
I did not get to try one of them.
I thought there was a little mini cup that was left behind.
I've been having stomach problems recently, so I don't want to be linked to the bathroom. I made
these guys, the Chop Heads MMA guys, try it, okay. And I tried to do something, and they were like, no, I really like it. I thought it was going to make them suffer. Apparently, it's not that type of hot sauce. It's like the
it's good, actually good.
It tastes good. Right. So
oh, there's your live read. It's good. It tastes good. It's good. That's good. All right.
But no, you look at the bottle, I was like, well, I'm not eating that one. And I put them all on a cracker, and I made them eat them, and I was going to try and this is the podcast that didn't make it last week.
Oh, okay.
Because I had no content because I didn't watch the episode.
Right.
I didn't watch the event over the weekend. Right. So I figured I'm going to fuck with these guys because they showed up drunk the week before.
Ah,
now I'm
going
to give them hot sauce crackers. Ski? And they were like, bro, this is really good. I was like, all right, well, my plan failed.
Backfire. Anyway, so NBA free agency starts tomorrow. We did roll off a couple names pre-show to plan for this bad boy. Kawhi Leonard opting out, but apparently he's probably going to wind up right back to where he is. The one that just jumps out at me because how much do you think you're actually worth is Chris Paul. Well, what? Sorry.
Back to Kawhi Leonard. He said that he's going to probably re-sign with LA, but not right away. He's going to hear other offers first, so which means that he's not going to fucking re-sign.
I was going to say, they're definitely going to one team in the NBA is going to go probably shoot to the moon for his contract.
Well, I think the Clippers are the ones that could spend the most money. They could give him the Supermax. No other team can.
Oh, all right.
Because he is all NBA, right?
Let me go check.
Yeah, I think he is. But and that's how you get the Supermax when you're all NBA?
Yeah.
It's such a weird. I got to learn more about the NBA and their contracts and their cap, if it's soft, if it's hard, you know, like heard that. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know the rules. Like,
well, it's football season.
So it is football season. You are correct. Yeah, hard cap. But yeah, Kawhi Leonard, the one that jumps out at me is Chris Paul. Like, bro, how good do you think you still are when you opt out of a $44 million deal?
You're missing first of all, he wants more years. He's at the point now where he could leverage himself coming off of this season that he had, specifically how well he played down the stretch in the postseason.
A la Aaron Rodgers?
Where he wants a 3-year deal. It's not about the 1 year because he's probably, after this 1 year, I wonder if he's going to be worth $20 million a year.
So he's just going to try to cash the hell in right now and get that extendo.
And also, down the stretch, kind of pick where he's going to spend the final years of his career.
Right.
Whether it's going to be the Suns, like I expect it to be now that the Lakers landed Westbrook.
Knicks. What? Did I say that? Oh, these thoughts,
do
they
you
just
really,
pop.
Do you really think that's the move for the Knicks right now?
I think Chris Paul is a role player that they can use right now. Absolutely.
So all that would happen if the Knicks got, first of all, he's not a role player. Second of all, if the Knicks got Chris Paul right now, he would probably get injured down the stretch. Mm-hmm. He would make them a better team for sure, but they're not beating the Hawks still. They're not beating the Bucks. They're not beating the Nets. So essentially, they're right where they were at.
Okay, so I pegged the question to you for this. As I roll off a couple more names, right? John Collins, DeMar DeRozan from the Spurs, Kyle Lowry, Mike Conley, Lonzo Ball, Oladipo, and Jared Allen, right? Those are the ones that like jump off the charts. Can the Knicks Now, Dame Lillard has been linked to have tried to maybe ask for a trade, but he's waiting for the Olympics to be over.
The Knicks aren't going to trade for Lillard.
Why not?
Because what are they going to do? What are they going to sacrifice everything? They're going to have to give up legitimate players on their roster just to make the money work. And
yeah, but you've seen these other teams that work with three guys, you know, like.
The reason why I don't think that they
have decent depth and there's role players that to be had. I mean, AJ's a Knicks fan. He knows there's guys on the Knicks bench right now.
Let me run this back. It's not that I don't think the Knicks would do it. The Knicks would do it. I just don't think it's really that real when we're talking about the headline.
Like, okay.
The headline is bullshit. Did Dame come out and say it? Probably not. Does Dame want to go to the Knicks? Probably. Maybe. But he doesn't control that right now. He's not able to go to Portland and say, trade me to the Knicks. It just doesn't work that way.
That's any sport. You don't get to just pick your destination in a trade. You know what I mean? But well,
in the NBA, typically you can sometimes in certain.
Like we just saw it happen with Westbrook. We just saw it happen. But what I think is that if a guy like Dame Lillard, who is absolutely a game changer, one of the best players in basketball, right? If he says, I want to go to the Knicks, then the Blazers would be smart to just totally siphon every piece of talent they could possibly get. And the Knicks, the Knicks would probably, I think the Knicks fan base would welcome something like that. As much as all these guys are feel-good guys, Obi Toppin, he comes in at the end and he's starting to play.
100% the Knicks fans would love to get Dame.
Imagine having Dame and Randall. And Carmelo Anthony apparently linked to go back to the Knicks. So
wait, where did you see that?
Yes,
Now we're talking.
That's a thing. No,
I saw he's going to the Lakers for the league minimum. Well, that's what's gonna happen.
I did see that too, but I also saw that there's a chance there was a reunion in New York.
All right, the Knicks aren't going to spend any money this offseason. I don't think they're going to make any big trades. They're going to position themselves for next year. That's my prediction.
I hate that. As a Knicks fan, that stinks. Well, that stinks because look, you know what? You know, it's funny you say that like that, and I can compare this to being a Cowboys fan because Jerry and Stephen Jones, who run the Cowboys, are quoted and famously quoted for always saying, we like the guys we have, right? And they're not making these big splashes and shit.
It's not even that. Look at the free agents after this season.
Well, yeah, we said there's going to be a party in 2022.
That's what it comes down to. It has nothing to do with them liking the guys they have. They're completely aware that it's not going to work the way it is. It's a better team. They got New York back on their side. The Knicks could regress a little bit as is.
Well, they were the four seed. There's no reason for them to be the four seed.
So I think the Knicks will regress as is. They do need help.
Are they a playoff team as it stands right now with the same team they had last year?
Yeah, just based on defense alone in the East. Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Then I'm cool with it. Let's just get back to the playoffs. Yeah,
get back to the playoffs, and then totally. You still have a little bit of buzz surrounding the team. Going into free agency, the Knicks will then potentially be a high destination, a sought-after place to play, we'll say.
Okay. All right. Look. You know me. I'm just trying to be optimistic about these Knicks, and I'm trying to figure out what they need to do to get to the next level. And if they have to wait a year to do it, yes, it sucks for the waiting game, and it sucks to be a Knicks fan at this moment because you know they're not going to make some big splashes. But, all right, so let's just say they sign Lonzo Ball. Is that a big splash, or is that just like addressing the point guard position?
I don't think it's really a big splash when you got a restricted free agent and somebody offers him a deal and the team doesn't match. It kind of is telling a little bit that it's not a big splash.
Because that just shows that they didn't want him.
If he was so good, they wouldn't just let him go for nothing.
I guess
there's some type of compensation when you have a restricted free agent, but it's nothing crazy.
What is that, like a comp pick or something like that? Something to that effect?
Honestly, I have no idea.
It might be cash considerations. Who knows? But, all right. Well, again, free agency starts. We're going to see who makes the big splashes first. Not the biggest class.
So, Kyle Lowry goes to the Heat is my prediction. Conley re-signs with Utah is another one of my predictions. Collins will get matched. They're not letting him go. The Hawks ain't letting him go. And CP3 re-ups with the Suns and Kawhi re-ups. Very boring offseason for the NBA standard.
Except for the Lakers, who decided to add one of the better players in the league.
Yes.
All right. So right off the rip, do you think that the Lakers, do they claim the West with the Suns not being as good, you know, because they're going to lose Chris Paul, maybe. Even if they don't lose Chris Paul, it's still one guy, you know, another year older. You know what I'm saying? Like, that team is young and good.
I think the Lakers are the team to beat? Most likely, but the Nuggets are going to be a lot better next year because they're going to get their guy back healthy.
Yeah. Murray. Yeah. Okay. All right. So interesting.
So
interesting
Lakers take. Nuggets is my prediction for the Western Conference Finals. Way too early.
I was going to say in August we're predicting what's going to happen in June of 2022.
And if Kawhi comes back, then look out for the Clippers too because they showed me a lot.
Listen, the Clippers were almost there. You know, they were right there. All right, so that's your NBA for the day because, again, it all starts. We have no control over who signs where. We'll talk about it when it happens. If it happens on the minute, you know, tomorrow, it'll be more of a frenzy, even though the players and the Rolodex of players isn't really that plentiful. But, yeah, it is what it is. So it is time, Gooch, to get back into football mode, bro. It is football season. It is time to rock out. Fantasy drafts are starting to line up. You did say something in pre-show. You got, what, the fourth pick in your draft?
Yeah, I did. My running league that I've had for a couple years now, or more than a couple years now, I got the fourth pick. I did the draft order.
I just want to personally congratulate you on drafting Ezekiel Elliott at 4, because that's where you should go, because that's where he's going to be.
Bro, I wouldn't take Zeke at 10.
You're high. You are high. Actually, are you high? Like, because it's been a while, right? I don't know. Like, come on.
I'm more low.
Okay, you're low. You're settled down. But wait a minute. So you're telling me, once CMC's off the board and Saquon lovers, you know, are take him too, and Kamara could probably go 3, and now where do you?
So you really think that I'm going to take Zeke over Dalvin Cook?
No. All right.
Derrick Henry.
No. No. No.
And now we're talking about, you think I'm going to take Zeke over Devontae?
No. I mean, if you're not like a running back, if it's not a PPR league, yeah.
Have you been in a non-PPR league in a while?
I run one for 16 years. Dude,
get with the times,
I am the
bro.
Standard,
get
bro. With I the am times, the bro. Standard of fantasy football. There is. We are the last in the Mohegans. My league and Joe Angelo's league. Those are the only two leagues that I know that are still standard.
That still suck.
That's not, why would it suck?
How could you?
Because
how,
you know what? You know what bothers me? You know what bothers me? When you can dump off a pass to the flat, guy catches it for a yard, and you get half a point just because he caught the damn thing. You gain nothing.
Well, you get 1 point in my league because it's
you got a full point PPR?
Full mm-hmm. point.
Oh, man. God. You know, and those are the leagues that go like, I lost my fantasy game.
Dave probably doesn't even give out bonuses anymore for 100 yards. Do you give out 100 yard bonus?
Hell no.
Oh, my God.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
I'm going to pass away.
No.
This isn't going to be good.
Hello, Doc. No, that's not true. I do give bonuses for... I don't remember. There is a bonus, though.
If you get a 50-yard field goal, if you catch a touchdown for the Cowboys, then you get the bonus. Dave's got a roster full of Cowboys.
I have finessed my league for years, bro, to make sure all the bonuses happen to Dallas. No, but...
sounds like Scott finessing the league. Shout out to Scott.
Shout out to Scott. Can't wait to get into that draft.
The way too early fantasy draft.
August 14th, man. That's in a keeper league, bro.
Gives me anxiety.
It's tough, bro.
It does. I mean, listen, not only because I have a fucking Sweet 16 to be at that day, that also gives me anxiety.
My brother's son's birthday is that day.
I just think that it's a rough month for football players. Camp is brutal.
It's going to be tough. You know what, though? I will say.
Not my guys that
I'm
get hurt.
Very, very confident in our three people that we picked, though. Those three are rubbing me the right way now, and what? You're looking at AJ like
rubbing him the right way.
Yes, they're rubbing me.
Sexual because it's football.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're talking about being hard over there. I'm excited because look,
thoroughly.
I am excited about the keepers. Justin Herbert's about to have another monster year coming off his rookie season.
All right, wait. We made what? Do you remember our conversation last week? How we're going to ban come football season? And this is one of the things.
Fantasy
that I said.
Football?
No, we're banning. Talking about our own fantasy teams. That's not allowed.
That's right. You didn't Nobody.
See that. Did you see my receivers? I got that from Sebastian Maniscalco.
Did you see my receivers?
So, yeah, no, we're not going to do that.
All right, forget it. Anyway, I won't tell anybody, but I will dive into the New England Patriots in our second day of our 32-team coverage. This is going to go right down to the wire as far as the way I mapped it out. We're going to take the 32nd team probably like right before kickoff on the night of, so whatever. We'll leave that to the NFC East, and we'll talk about the Cowboys winning the NFCs next week or at the end of the season. Preseason, but anyway, we started with the Jets. You know, as far as the win totals, you got them at 3, I got them at 5. This guy's optimistic, got them at 7. So you said six.
I originally said 7, so I'll stick with 7.
Okay, that's cool. I'm not mad at it. I think that the 7-10 for a first year head coach, first year quarterback. It's not a winning season by any stretch, but it's something to be excited about. Right. 5 more wins.
There's no moral victories. Moving on to the Patriots.
Speaking of moral victories, the New England Patriots, who went 7-9, are very optimistic because of the fact that they're getting some of their better players back this year. Just to run down who opted out last year: Hightower, Chung, Bolden, Cannon, Lacoste, Vitelli, Marquise Lee, and Terrant. That's a lot. That's a big, big, big list of guys to opt out. And the only ones that have note that are coming back, because Chung apparently retired. I wasn't aware of that until this morning. I don't remember that announcement. I'm very surprised at that, that I don't remember that happening. But Hightower, one of the better linebackers in the base 3-4 defense that they run over there. But we'll go through the wins and losses. Not wins and losses. We'll do that too. This you know, I'm telling you, bro, I got a new fat burner, and I'm telling you, it's got me like cold sweats right now, and I'm just trying to drop a couple LBs. I was in the sauna today. Like I came out like a raisin.
What do you mean by fat burner? Is that a pill or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. You want in? Actually, it's not a pill. I now take it in powder form, which goes into my pre-workout shake, which gets me ultimate warrior at the thing, just shaking ropes.
I'll be coming into the office looking like I got Parkinson's. So with panic attacks, I'll have.
But anyway, we go into the Patriots as we dive into their roster, starting at the top, which is obviously very, very topical, because who's going to be the guy to start to lead this resurgent, because they finished third last year. And in order for them to even compete in this division, you need a QB1. And I think me and Chris are on the same page here when we think that Cam Newton can't be the quarterback.
Yeah, Cam is done.
Right. You would, bro, I get like anxiety when he throws. Like his motion looks shitty. Like it just doesn't look like a quarterback anymore.
Yeah, I think that the Patriots know that. And you could look at their roster the way it's built. And they don't think that they expect to extend the field much at all. And you saw what they did this offseason. They just signed two tight ends.
Right.
Two really good tight ends.
I think they're very good.
Free agent class. So regardless if Cam does start or Mac Jones starts, they're going to make it real easy on the quarterback. And I think that will help Cam. And look, Belichick, I'm not counting him out.
You can never really do that. I mean, last year you could, but that team was in disarray completely.
Yeah, let's talk about last year.
Yeah, so anyway.
They lost everybody in the defense.
They did.
Everyone opted out.
But they still have one of the best corners in football who was linked to trying to get out at one point, but he's still there.
This is how you know I really hate Tom Brady. Why? Because I've done nothing but defend the Patriots and Bill Belichick's honor since he left. Because
we got a statue now in the studio.
Now, I just think that the way it all went down with the breakup, we'll call it, mm-hmm. air quotes, the breakup, that everybody's like, Tom Brady won the breakup. Well, yeah, he won a Super Bowl. Of course he won the breakup. But
that's not
proving that Brady was the reason behind
all the success. They also had the most stacked team in history.
Yeah, that's not proving. If Belichick was to coach that team,
he wins the Super Bowl with his eyes closed.
So it doesn't matter.
Right.
And I also think if Belichick was the Packers coach for 14 years instead of your bum coach now, the Packers would have six fucking rings.
They're going to be singing a different tune at the end of this year, pal, just so you know. You're going to be like, wow, that wasn't the same coach that we had. That's so weird. But anyway, we won't talk about those guys. So looking at their running back backfield, these guys have never had a RB1 ever. It's always been by committee. The only one I don't see on this list is Rex Burkhead, and I guess he skipped town. So that stinks, right? I don't know if he landed anywhere. He was a change of pace guy, great receiver out of the backfield.
He's but somewhere.
I has to be. Right? Where's he at?
He's a Houston Texan.
That's another running back by committee over there, but they got a couple decent dudes over there.
We'll do the Texans next week.
Yeah, we are actually doing the Texans next week. That's going to be fun. Damian Harris, Sony Michel, James White, and of course, Ramondre Stevenson getting involved for this running back by committee. Damian Harris seemed to have come on last year as the guy that was the guy you can focus on more, getting the bulk of the carries. Sonny Michel was hurt a lot of last year. He comes back healthy. And James White, for whatever reason, is everybody's like, I can't believe he scored again, but nobody has him on his fantasy team type deal. Like, he's always in the end zone somehow.
You'll never have him because he's a fucking PPR legend, but he's not a weird fantasy fucking guy.
Weird fantasy. Now we're just weird.
Any points at all?
You know what? Maybe I'll put it to a vote in my league to change it to half point PPR. Maybe
watch the fucking masses flood to the yes button. Guaranteed. Right. It's just more fun. I'm sorry.
It makes the scores higher. I don't know. Whatever. I'm still
I say PPR legend, that's a stretch. He's not a legend.
I know.
Maybe one or two seasons he really kind of carried teams in the certain weeks, because I've had him and I've had success with him. But if you draft James White as a starter or even a flex, you're in trouble.
I would say that Deion Lewis, when he was a Patriot, was a PPR legend.
Yes. Deion Lewis played well, and now he's with the Giants, I think, still. I don't know.
Out of the league, probably.
Maybe. Before we get into the receivers, we were mentioning before that their tight end room is phenomenal. Probably the number two 1-2 punch in tight ends in the league. And you're probably asking yourself, who's number one, Dave? It's Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz.
Oh, my God. Shut the fuck up about the Cowboys. The tight ends are decent, but that's about it. There's a lot more tight end.
I'm kidding, obviously. Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, those are the best two tight ends, the 1-2 punch probably in the league. And, you know, again, I can make jokes all I want, but Henry's good. He's been battled with injuries. Jonnu Smith, he got paid based off his performances. And you know what? I think they kind of showed him the door because there's something to this, and we'll talk about it when we talk about the Titans.
The Firkser guy?
Yeah, there's something to him. I think he's a Jersey guy, too, by the way.
Manalpin.
There you go.
That's an AJ sleeper alert.
Oh, is it? That was it. Okay. All right. Well,
I just don't know that there's going to be the volume there for him.
Well, we'll see.
He will be better than he was last year.
I mean, yeah, he wasn't a stat lord last year, but I think there's something to him. But anyway, you're looking at this receiving core, not so great. You know, Jacoby Myers, Neil Harry,
N'Keal
Harry, Kendrick Bourne, Marvin Hall. I think
he requested a trade.
And Nelson Aguilar, that's what I'm calling
Aguilar.
Him. It's Aguilar. But
he did the eyes. Aguilar, you ever see the video?
No.
Where there was
I definitely, yep, that was a good one. But look.
Philly's finest.
He gets paid based off his year in Oakland last year, or Vegas, sorry. And he had a great year, but I don't think he could be the guy. He's definitely not the guy.
He's a perfect fit for this offense where he's just going to run underneath routes. He can catch the ball. He worked on his hands. He didn't have any. I don't think he had even one drop last year. Maybe one or two drops.
But he used to be king of the drops, which is crazy. Yeah,
he couldn't catch for shit. Are you looking up if Aguilar had drops?
Yeah, no, definitely.
But he definitely was the Raiders' most consistent receiver. Yeah. On a team where they had a lot of talent at the receiver position.
I like Hunter Renfro. I think he was good, and I still like Ruggs to be better. But yeah, his consistency is key, and I think that was the guy. Looking at their offensive line, you got some?
Oh, it's actually really hard to find.
Anyway, we have their offensive line, Isaiah Wynn, he's all right. Trent Brown is good on the right side of the tackle. Go ahead.
I got a shocker, actually. Uh-oh. Nelson Aguilar had more drops than he's ever had in his career last year.
You know what's fucking funny?
No, but I don't buy that.
What I was just going to say, well, he also probably got a lot more targets, but I was just going to say, AJ, don't actually look that up. Because the only thing that could happen here is I could be wrong. Like, if you're right, you're like, oh, nobody knows, nobody cares. But right. You're going to come here and prove me wrong again, and now I have a fucking vendetta against AJ and Google that shit.
Well, he obviously survived the casket match last week, so maybe you can now have a ladder match in the hallway. The new look hallway, by the way. Good look. Good looks. I'm getting a receptionist. Yeah, I rearrange
things again, but that's another story for another day.
So the offense will be the offense. I want to
see you, AJ.
I would assume the offense is a little...
So he didn't fix the drops. I'm stuck on the fucking Aguilar thing.
I mean, look, I
this is what I think it is, right? So it's like almost mass hysteria. Like the Eagles, they see a drop and they're like, oh my God, what the hell?
That's what
it is. The Raiders see a drop, they're like, ah.
All right, moving on. My ego is shattered.
That does make it a little better, actually.
My ego is shattered.
All right, so the defense rebolstered with the fact that Dont'a Hightower is coming back. Their defensive line, there's actually, dude, honestly, I'm looking up and down this roster and there's nobody that jumps out at me. Lawrence Guy, Davin Godshaw, and Henry Anderson.
Henry Anderson's an ex-Jet. He was pretty good, but he's not nothing amazing.
Judon's really great. I like Judon. Hightower, obviously. Their linebacking core is a little better. In the corners, J.C. Jackson, he played decent ball last year. Stephon Gilmore.
Did Gilmore report?
Yeah, I think so.
I got to check.
It says he's out. It says there's an O next to his name, but I don't think he's like injured. It might not have been, yeah, maybe he didn't report, but I think he did because I know he was looking for either an extension or a trade, but Gilmore being back, he's still one of the better top five corners probably in football right now, which that list is headed by Trayvon Diggs. see, Gooch is like totally tuning me out when it comes to...
He might be like the 34th best corner.
So he's not even like better than somebody's backup.
Yeah,
terrible. No,
there's two corners.
There's two. They're right. I'm sorry.
He's like the best number two corner in the league.
Yeah. Well, they also have Adrian Phillips, great strong safety. I think he's definitely a baller. And of course, Devin McCourty from
Rutgers
University. And of course,
That was supposed to be my kid.
That was, but no, you just were totally knee deep in. I'm reading. That's fine. Jalen Mills, bitch made from Philadelphia. He stinks. I hope he dyed his hair another freaking color and a piece of garbage. But anyway, I don't think he's going to get much playing time if you're asking me. Nick effing Folk is your kicker. And, of course, you know, they have a Gunnar Olszewski, their punt returner, and their kicker returner. He's one of the studs over there. So now, when you look at their schedule coming up, they obviously have their three preseason games, Washington, Philly, and New York. Everybody's got three except Dallas and Pittsburgh because of the Hall of Fame game. So keep that in mind as well for as far as playing time is concerned. So Dallas will probably bench a lot. They're going to get a lot of their depth, some reps this Thursday. But they start their season off at home. That should be a great game.
Just to note, I don't think anyone was giving a shit about the depth. And I have not cared about a preseason game except for don't get injured.
Yes, right? Of course. That's it. But you want to make sure you have some capable bodies on your depth. No,
I want to. That's what I want to see. I just don't want.
Them upright.
I don't want any starter to ever play. I want guys that are looking to earn a position.
Come on, they need to play a little bit. They have to.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They do. Yes, you saw how much impact it had when these guys didn't play any preseason games last year. It was very. It took like 2-3 weeks for these guys to get off the ground, and that's the truth.
I watched Jordy tear his ACL in the preseason.
Yes, okay, so if you have these memories, it's going to stick with you. I get it, bro. I'm just saying.
The more you're out there, the mileage, the wear and tear. These guys are NFL players.
Yeah, but they're not going nuts.
Practice more. Do something more in practice. Get it together in practice. They didn't even have OTAs last year, and Aaron Rodgers won MVP. That's my take on it. Right? We don't need all
bold,
this practice.
Real bold.
We don't need all the practice. We don't need the practice games. It's a money grab. That's all it is. Period, the end.
Got it. Anyway, these New England Patriots start in division first 2 weeks. First game, not easy pickings, but it is in Foxborough. It's Miami Dolphins. So that'll be interesting. We don't necessarily have
Miami gets a break by getting to go to New England early in the year and not having to go there late in the year.
When it's 20 degrees and snowing. Yeah.
Miami can't win up north in the cold.
Right. So Miami might get that win.
And they get... Oh, never mind.
Well, then they get the Jets in New York for their home opener. I believe I was going to say Monday night, but it's a Sunday night, Sunday day game at 1:00 against the Jets. So right off the rip, you probably got them 1-1. Miami may be beating them in week 1. So 1-1 looks like to be the start. Then they go back home for 2 games in a row against New Orleans and Tampa. They probably could beat New Orleans and they'll probably lose to Tampa. So right off the bat, they're 2-2.
I got them at 2-2, but I feel like they're going to probably win the first two and then lose the second two.
You think New Orleans, Miami at home. New Orleans beats them in Foxborough? That's a stretch for me. I mean, I don't think New Orleans is going to be good.
I think it's equally as much a stretch for the Dolphins to do it.
I believe a division opponent will probably do it over. I mean, look.
I got to see the point spread.
Anyway, we both got them at 2-2. Then they go to Houston, who might not win any game.
I cannot wait for the fucking point spread to come out. Oh, my gosh.
Dallas
football season's
Dallas
here,
opens
baby.
Up as 5.5 underdogs this week. No, that's not true. No, was it 2.5? I don't know. But
are you
5.5
the preseason game still?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, my God, Dave. I'm going to throw up on the fucking table.
Dude, I told my dad last night. I was like, Dad, I'll see you on Thursday. Like,
We're gonna actually skip the Cowboys day when we do the team.
Oh, the hell we're not.
Because Dave fucking talks about him every other day. So we're going to do the Cowboys.
And I had to create a home podcast for it. So that was my reasoning behind it. But anyway, the 2-2. Then they go to at Houston.
Oh, my God. We're about to see the Cowboys.
Yep. Like, not there yet.
Escape.
At Houston, Houston might not win a game, depending on who their quarterback is. It should not be Deshaun Watson, so we'll see about that. So they'll probably go 3-2 there. And then they're home against the Cowboys. And this will be a challenge for both teams, I think. I don't like Dallas on the road ever, anywhere. And they went to New England on the road, and they couldn't get it done a couple years ago.
I think this is a turning point in the season, potentially, to see which way this team is going to go.
At the Dallas game.
The Dallas game for New England. If New England could come in there and win that game, and I believe that'll put them at 4-2.
Yes, it would put them at 4-2.
Or
it's either 4-2 or 3-3 at this point. Yeah. So I think that's it is a turning point. Then they got the Jets again.
So it could be potentially New England. I got New England going 5-2 or 4-3.
At the worst, 4-3.
Yeah,
right.
At their worst, 4-3.
And then they got the Chargers, Carolina, and Cleveland. That's a tough stretch, I think, and because two on the road. And I'm starting to buy into AJ's sneaky team of Carolina being a little better than what they're billed at this year. I got a feeling I do like Rule. I do like Sam Darnold to be better when he's coached better. I do like their wide receivers. Of course, CMC, if he stays healthy, he's probably one of the more elusive backs in the league. They could be sneaky. We'll see. But I think that the Patriots probably... I don't know, man. I don't think they beat
Darnold's
LA.
Darnold's going to see ghosts that game. He's not going to be able to fucking...
So maybe they split on the road. And, you know, all right, well, we'll see. Then, of course, the Cleveland Browns. I'm not sure about the Browns this year. I picked them to win that division. Again, that's at New England. So I think that, you know, they're home against the Browns. Possibly get a win there as well. We'll see. Atlanta, they probably beat in Atlanta. Then Tennessee comes around. Tennessee's going to be better this year with their offensive weapons. And then Buffalo, they'll probably maybe split with Buffalo. You know what I mean? So I'm not like breaking down win, loss. You know, I'm just kind of going through the motions here. Indianapolis, they got in Indy, but no, they don't even have a quarterback right now because good old Carson Wentz just can't stay healthy. But obviously this is in December, so that things will probably be changed at that point.
He'll be out for the season by then, definitely. Right.
So he's week to week now, but he's done for the year. And
what's the over-under on win totals for New England?
I'll get it.
Check it out.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we were looking
at. I got them at 9-8.
That's bold, I think. That's a 2-game turnaround. What do you got?
The win total is 9. I have it, my personal predictions. Exactly.
9-8, 10-7 is where I'm at.
So you're giving them 10 wins. Look, there are winnable games on their schedule and they're going to be better, but you have to keep in mind, like, who the hell is going to be the quarterback? Do you believe in a Mac Jones if he's the guy all of a sudden? But here's the thing. If Cam Newton gets off to that 4-3, 5-2 start, like you said they will, he ain't losing his job.
Who's to say that Cam Newton's guaranteed to start?
Going in.
Who said that?
I didn't say that. I'm just,
yeah, no.
That's you think that's a possibility?
I think Mac Jones is probably going to be the starter there.
Wow.
They didn't take him 15th just to sit him. Not in today's NFL.
Yeah, but they did pay Cam a little bit, just a little bit, but he's definitely a cap casualty possibly. You don't foresee.
I don't think Mac Jones is the guy that you go in there and say, here's the keys. Mac Jones is the guy that you bring in a veteran, like a Cam, who's a solid backup at this point in his career, to push the starter, to make Cam,
Mac Jones
perform better and get his shit together a little sooner than.
Do you see the possibility of a Cam Newton being a guy holding the clipboard in New England? Or is he going to be boo-hoo, boo-boo-lipped, get me out of here if I'm not the starter?
No, you think that happens? He'll team player it up for that.
You think
money.
So?
Yeah, of course. It's not like there's going to be teams. First of all, when Cam was available to everybody.
Nobody was beating down the
last
door.
Last year, nobody was beating down the door. So it's not like he's going to get traded. You're not going to get any assets back for Cam. He's a Patriot this year. That's it.
Okay.
No doubt.
And you think that is a possibility he starts on the bench.
And I know that you were talking about their defensive line earlier. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, they didn't have Christian Barmore on the
depth chart. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, what the hell?
They drafted him in the second round.
Shout out to ESPN for updating your depth charts.
Yeah, and I almost thought Green Bay was going to take him at the end of the first.
You did. We were saying that at the draft party. I remember that. So from what I remember of the draft party.
A potential first round talent.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right. So the over-under is at 9. Gucci has him right at 9, apparently, right? What do you got over there? You got a prediction?
I'm going to go over. I'm going to say 10-7.
Just
because I'm going to take the over. I'm going to believe in Belichick, but I don't want to root for the Patriots all year by any means.
You're not going to root for them. It's just that this is how the schedule plays out. You got him at 8-9?
8-9.
All right, so you have a 1-game improvement from last year with the additions to their defense back. Yep. Okay, that's interesting. I'll probably split the difference between you guys and give them 9 wins.
Okay.
I'll stay with 9-7. I think that's 9-8. That gives you more realistic. Maybe they lose a couple close games here and there. The games on their schedule, they got a tough, other than Jacksonville in December.
Look at that December schedule.
Indy, Buffalo, and Miami in December, and that's at Miami to close the year out in January. So it's not even cold. You know, it's still going to be warm, relatively warm in Miami at the end of the year. But that's a tough stretch outside of the Jaguars.
Look at the Titans, Bills, bye, Colts, Bills.
Look at that late ass bye, bro. 14. They got to play 13 straight games. That's a little.
Could you tell that I got a piss?
No, I didn't tell. You can go.
We're almost done.
Yeah, we're almost done as you look at the clock. Oh, we're definitely done.
Yeah.
No, but all right. So that's where we're at with the New England Patriots. Now, based off of what we said, this consensus obviously gets them finishing over the Jets. Now, we'll talk about the Miami Dolphins on Monday and then obviously dive into the Buffalo Bills on Tuesday. But we'll find out what 10-7 at their best, 10-7, where that sits the New England Patriots for 2021. So this has been another jam-packed episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. We're wrapping this up rapidly because it looks like Gooch has to really, really go to the bathroom. And we don't want to take any more breaks, and that's fine. That's totally fine. So anyway, follow all of our social medias. What?
Breaking news. I have to say, Carson Wentz out 5 to 12 weeks.
Five to 12 weeks. Dave celebrates injuries.
Dave does not root for
injuries. I didn't celebrate. Yes, I said, woo. As in, like, wow. Like,
Sounded like a celebration
sounded like a celebration from a guy that doesn't do PPR leagues.
you know what, though? First of all, Wayne Carson, I said it on this podcast.
Who the fuck is out 5 to 12 weeks?
Yeah, what is that?
Sounds like he's out forever. Wait,
I'll tell you right now. Who was the report? Let's see. According to, I'm looking. That's going to be Bleacher Report. So it wasn't even our hack-a-doodle-doo Adam Schefter to probably say, sources have said that he's going to be out 5 to 12.
It looks like he'll be back in time for the Patriots-Colts game in week 15.
That is unbelievable. Bro, they don't have a backup. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do you know what the Colts are going to do?
What are they going to do?
They're going to trade for Nick Foles. They're going to bring Foles, and Foles is going to do it again on Carson Wentz. Poetic.
I don't think
poetic.
That would be
fun. Or why don't they trade for the guy who doesn't get the starting job in New England?
Because nobody wants Cam Newton.
Who do you want, Cam Newton or whoever else they have?
The second one.
Get out of here. You're nuts, bro. I'm not trading
a single thing for Cam. And I'm also, if I'm New England, what asset are you going to get back that's worth it over a backup quarterback? Think about that. Oh, specifically if Cam.
But they got Jarrett Stidham. Wait, Brian Hoyer.
Guy that doesn't win the New England job is available for trade. So if Mac Jones doesn't win the New England job this year, they're going to trade
him. No, what I'm saying is I think if Cam Newton is not the starter.
I got pissed, guys. Carson Wentz is ginger anyway.
He's got no soul. But anyway, that's fine. Great breaking news there, by the way. I mean, obviously when people download this, it might be like breaking about a half hour ago. But at least we're here, and that's what we're here for. So, all right. Well, then that's that. The Colts are in trouble now. We'll talk about the Colts next week and what they're going to do at the quarterback position. Because right now, if you look around the league, there's nobody available except for Colin Kaepernick. But anyway, that might be a thing. Who knows? You never know. But for Sturch and Gooch and, of course, AJ behind the glass, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. Gooch, go take your piss.
Whoa. Wait, you didn't get to say that thing that you wanted to say about the Cowboys.
What was I going to say about the Cowboys?
You didn't get the joke.